Just like us today, the writers of our two scripture passages confront the challenges of daily life head on, and their message is crystal clear. Fear not, do not be afraid, for God will be with us as we journey individually and journey as a community. As we will hear in the selection from Deuteronomy, the people of Israel were about to enter into the promised land without their fearless leader, Moses. But God promises not to forget or forsake them. And then likewise, in the words to Timothy and to the early church, God promises them and now to us an extraordinary, extraordinary gift. Of course, it is not the gift of timidity and cowardice as we respond to the various challenges of our lives. No, on the contrary, God promises us a spirit of power and a spirit of love. God promises to each of us individually and to this community that we affectionately call First Church, courage and strength, joy and hope, as we work together to share God's love with one another and with the world. Listen now to God's promises to us.
Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verses 1 through 3 and 6. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "I am now 120 years old. I am no longer able to get about, and the Lord has told me, 'You shall not cross over this Jordan.' The Lord your God himself will cross over before you. Be strong and bold, therefore, and have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Our second reading is from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "For this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Can you imagine being the Israelite people long ago who had just heard from their fearless leader, Moses, that they would have to go on without him? Moses was everything to the people, the one who inspired, challenged, and led them. In the passage we heard from Deuteronomy, Moses shared with the people that he wouldn't be continuing on the journey, but nevertheless, they should not fear, because God was with them, calling them to do great things.
Or imagine Timothy, a young leader in the newly formed church thousands of years ago, when he learned that the Apostle Paul, his mentor, teacher, was dying. We just heard an excerpt from one of Paul's last letters to the early church, and he called upon those Christians to live with love, with power, and with boldness.
So on this festive Sunday, when we come together as a community, we need reminders that we aren't alone and that we have this sacred calling of growing and sharing hope and joy, courage and love, as individuals and as a community. So much in this world can frighten and scare us and cause us to despair, but in this community, we truly believe that we can be a place of hope and love, where we can remind each other of God's presence
and how we are called to live as faithful people, filled with courage and power, love and strength.
One individual who is filled with a spirit of power and love in the face of injustice and despair is Maya Moore. Earlier this summer, at the age of 30, healthy and in her prime, the former UConn basketball superstar began doing something virtually unthinkable for an athlete of her stature, taking a sabbatical. This year she won't be playing for the Minnesota Lynx. She is sitting out the year, and perhaps even longer. She is answering what she says is a call from God. I believe God wants me to step away from the fray and consider what is truly important. This past spring, Moore, a two-time Olympic gold medalist, two-time NCAA champion, and four-time WNBA titleist, and one of the greatest players in the game today, drove down a narrow strip of blacktop which led to a prison in the town of her childhood. You see, Maya had been asked to visit a prisoner inside the Jefferson City Correctional Center, a maximum security penitentiary in rural central Missouri. Each visitor, including Maya Moore, waited to be escorted by armed guards into a large room full of convicted men. Moore was there to see inmate number 101145, Jonathan Irons, serving 50 years. In 1998, a jury found Jonathan guilty of burglary and assault with a deadly weapon. He was 16 when the crime occurred, but as it turns out, there was no physical evidence linking him to the crime. Irons was a poor African-American teenager who had been tried as an adult in front of an all-white jury during a time when the White House and the Congress encouraged harsh penalties for young offenders. Maya Moore was shocked at the facts as she began to learn them. My eyes started opening, she said. Moore is now certain that Irons, now 39, was wrongly convicted. Convinced that Irons has been victimized by a racist justice system, she has given time and money toward a last gasp bid for his release. Now, Moore realizes that few people have the luxury that she has to simply drop everything, but she believes that making a difference in just this one case could help a growing movement to overhaul our criminal justice system. Jonathan Irons was at first skeptical of Maya Moore. When they first met, he thought the teenage Moore was there for just a token visit. But on a recent afternoon, Irons sat in an isolation room for an interview. A guard stood nearby. Irons at first smiled, and then with tears, called Moore
a lifesaver who gives him hope.
Maya Moore has said of her struggle for justice for Irons,
we're still in the fight.
And Irons says of Maya Moore,
she is light, pure light.
And on a recent visit to the prison, Maya said,
I'm here because I care.
And we are here because we care. We are here this morning. We are here this year at First Church with this beloved family of faith because we care. We care about one another.
We care about the injustice and the hatred all around us and the endless gun violence in our nation.
We care about the innocent victims of natural disasters.
We care about children who are hungry and homeless in our region or on the nation's southern border.
We care about our elders who are often alone or grieving, facing illness and old age.
We care about our warming planet and the lives it has already destroyed, and what the future holds for coming generations.
Friends, God did not give Maya a spirit of cowardice. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. Rather, God has given us a spirit of love, a spirit of power, to remain in the fight day in and day out, and to be that light in an often dark world.
Tammy Waddell was a teacher in Georgia for over 30 years. And she was a light of love to her children. She called them my kids, her kids that she taught year in and year out. You see, Tammy was facing a serious illness, and she knew she wasn't going to live. So about 2 weeks before she died, she told her son that she didn't want flowers for her funeral, but she wanted backpacks full of school supplies to honor her life. You see, Tammy had this passion for children, and she knew that each and every child, no matter where they were from or what they looked like, deserved an education and deserved to be loved. One of Tammy's cousins shared some pictures of her funeral, and along the pews are backpacks, lots of backpacks. And another picture was of lots of teachers standing with those backpacks, honorary pallbearers, taking those backpacks to the children that needed them most in their schools. Kevin, Tammy's son, says it doesn't surprise him that this was one of his mom's final wishes, that she was the inspiration of why he's now an educator, because she loves those kids so very much. And Kevin explained that her life was not focused on herself and what she could gain or buy or do, but it was focused on sharing that love with children. For 30 years, she was a teacher, and in 2003, she was honored in her county in Georgia as Teacher of the Year, an ordinary woman with an extraordinary heart. Her light and her love of children shone bright. And one of her friends commented that even in her death, she's teaching us how to live. God, day in and day out, is teaching us how to live and to love. And he is exhorting us to not live in fear, but to live boldly and courageously with strength and love.
Our God will not fail us. Our God will not forsake us. Our God has confidence in us, not only to play the game of making this world a better place, but to finish the game as well. The last story is about God's confidence in us. Needs a little background, just in case not everyone is a fan or student of America's favorite pastime, baseball. So baseball 101, real quickly, the game is a batter and a pitcher, and the pitcher throws the ball, and the batter tries to get a hit and score runs. The pitcher is often judged by a variety of metrics. What is their ERA? How many strikeouts? How many games have they won? How many complete games did they pitch? A complete game is when you've gone the full 9 innings, and the manager hasn't had to come to the mound to take the ball away from the starting pitcher and give it to a reliever, right? How'd I do? That pretty good? Okay. So this story just happened a week ago, and our church member, beloved church member George Dixon, has given me permission to share it. Wednesday mornings, as most of you know, is a busy time around here. On one Wednesday morning, we'll have volunteers who are arriving to give food out for Mobile Food Share. On the alternate Wednesdays, we have a group of about a dozen people going off to the regional market in Hartford to sort produce to be given out on Mobile Food Share. Well, George is one of our faithful volunteers from Mobile Food Share, and so he comes in the office on those Wednesdays, goes to the back room to pick up the signs that say Food Share, Mobile Food Share, to put out on the front so people know it's a day for Mobile Food Share. He always pokes his head in and says, "Morning, morning, boss." Well, that morning, I had some questions for George. I said, "George, so what was your ERA as one of Springfield College's greatest pitchers of all time? What was your record? How many strikeouts?" As some of you know, it was 2 years ago that George Shorty Dixon was inducted into the Springfield Hall of Fame. Springfield College is known for its amazing athletic program. His record there in 3 years of varsity play was 22-4, ERA of 2.04, 189 strikeouts, and a winning percentage of 846, I think, 846. But then I asked George, "How many complete games did you pitch?" He paused for a moment and humbly said, "Well, this is how it happened, David. When I was ready to pitch a game, Archie Allen, the coach of for 30 years of Springfield College baseball and a former professional player, would go to George." Archie Allen would look George in the eye, hand him the ball, and say, "Dixon, see you at the end of the game." "See you at the end of the game."
Thanks, coach.
Friends, our God is giving us the ball. And our God has confidence in us as individuals and as a faith community that we're going to make it to the end of the game. You see, our God believes in us and has confidence in us. For the world needs us, and the world needs First Church.
In the year ahead, we will not hold back, we will not retreat, we will give it everything we've got. God will give us the stamina, the power, the perseverance, and the confidence to bring our light and our love to make this world a little better place for all of God's children.
So friends, as we leave this place, let us be inspired people who live with hope,
with joy,
with courage,
and with love.
Amen.